Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and welcome, saints of the Most High God, freedomizers, family, and friends. You're listening to the Sound Dr. Christian Ministries Sabbath Show. I'm your host, Servant Emmanuel, and we thank you for joining us. Hallelujah, and as always, let us start off in prayer. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Yahshua, your Christ, who died on the cross on Calvary, who defeated death, hell, and the grave, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Hallelujah. Father God, we love you. We come before you seeking your grace and your mercy. With a repentant heart, Father God, we beseech you. Father, we are sinners saved by the grace of God. For you told us in your word that if we would confess our sins, you were faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, thy will be done. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We bless your chosen people, Israel. Hallelujah. Thy will be done, O God. Hallelujah. We pray for all of those that are behind the prison walls, those that are in the hospitals and in the nursing homes. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for a mind stayed on you today. Hallelujah, Father God. We lift up all children to you, O God. We lift up every marriage to you that has been ordained in your name. We thank you, Father, that we're able to come before the throne of grace and to seek your will and your way. Hallelujah. And we shall forever give your name all the praise. Hallelujah. We give you all the honor. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right, brothers and sisters, our scriptural text for today comes from the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start at the 9th verse. And it reads, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thy hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they can not hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall fall among them that fall, at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, where there is good, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Our text from the day comes from this verse, the 16th verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is their good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. With that, we're going to go back. We're going to praise the Lord of hosts the way that they used to praise the Lord of hosts. We're going to seek his face with our whole hearts. Hallelujah. Bless you.
Elijah Rock, coming up, Lord. Elijah Rock, shout, shout. Elijah Rock, coming up, Lord. Elijah, Elijah, do that one more time.
Elijah Rock, coming of Lord. Elijah Rock.
shout, shout, shout out. He loves your rock, call me the Lord. You can call my rock in the morning, call God late at night. He's always with me. All my battles he fight. And when I'm in trouble, call God, hold the line. He put a telephone in my heart, Lord. I can call God anytime. Hallelujah. He loves rock. Shout, shout, shout out.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city. All you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Antiwarteeth.com is to promote anti-war activism, unlocking minds and shattering paradigms. By purchasing one of these t-shirts, you become an anti-war activist. www.antiwarteeth.com, bringing peace and human rights to the mainstream. Buy it, wear it, become it. Anti-war tees.
Hey Freedomizers, Val Villano here. I am proud to announce the premiere of Recharge Radio, my new show right here on Freedomizer. It's Monday through Thursday from 3 to 5 Pacific. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order. Being a New World Order analyst for many years, my expertise on tactics and master plan implementation carried out by the elitists who govern our world, I base my theories on objective probability analysis on both current and past events to bring a new light of understanding in the world in which we live. I believe I have a dynamic news coverage with intel information from insiders in revealing their strategy to the public to help you prepare. Along with my superior guest interviews, I also believe that we will be taking a commanding lead in quality journalism to the airwaves right here on Freedomizer, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order. Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey A Go-Go, Freedomizer's late-night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific Time. Hosted by me, Val Villano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go-Go. So come, lift your spirits and get away from all the doom and gloom. Warning, it's raw, it's dangerous, and we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will swoop on the air, unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific Time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey A Go-Go! Whoa, put the brakes on. Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
Oh, yeah, baby. You know what time it is? It's time to get your freak on with your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Mondays at 7 Central.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Amen, and we're back. Hallelujah. This day, we are praising the Lord. The Sabbath is set aside for the day of remembering our Lord and praising Him. And we will continue our day of praise right after this week's two-minute warning from the Chuck Colson Center. We have this week's new breakpoint commentaries as well, and we'll have those for you in a bit. We see all of you guys in the chat room. We thank you for being there. We love you all. Those who are listening live, God bless you. We love you. Those who are listening to the archives, we bless you as well. It is indeed an honor for us to be here for you guys. All right, and without any further delay, this week's two-minute warning from the Chuck Colson Center of Christian Worldview.
What really changes the world and shapes human history? Ideas. I'm John Stone Street, and this is the two-minute warning. Historians and sociologists do this thing. They look at different periods of history and they name them. They love to name periods of history, like the Exploration Age or the Industrial Revolution or something like that. Our age has already been named. It's the Information Age. Why? Well, it should be obvious. We encounter on a daily basis more information than some folks from another generation would have seen during their entire life. Every time we get on the internet, we have at our fingertips more information than all the previous centuries of the world combined. But you need to know something about information. Information is never neutral. Information contains ideas. Sometimes it argues ideas. Sometimes it just assumes or embodies ideas. But ideas always come at us through various forms of information. And these ideas really matter. Now, one of the great lies of our culture is it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. It doesn't matter what's true. It only matters what's true for you. Well, that's an idea. It's an idea about ideas. Here's what you need to know about all ideas. They have consequences. This is what Richard Weaver taught us. In fact, another person taught us this as well, Lewis Carroll in his classic work, Alice in Wonderland. You have Alice talking to the Cheshire Cat, and she says, "Cheshire Cat, tell us please, which way ought I go from here?" And the Cheshire Cat says, "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to." And Alice says, "Well, I don't care where." And the cat says, "Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go." Now think about it. That's really profound. If you don't care where you end up in life, take whatever road. If you don't care where we end up as a culture or where our lives end up as individuals, embrace whatever ideas you want. But the conversation goes on. Alice says, "Well, I just want to get somewhere." And the cat said, "You're sure to do that as long as you walk far enough." Just like the road we take, the ideas we embrace have destinations. They take us somewhere. And so the idea of our culture that it doesn't matter what you believe, everyone can believe whatever they want, is actually naive and foolish. I'm often reminded of that parable of the six blind men studying the elephant. One reaches out and touches the elephant's tusk and says, "An elephant is like a spear." The other one reaches out and touches the elephant's nose and says, "No, the elephant is like a snake." The other one reaches out and touches the elephant's ear and says, "No, it's like a fan." Another reaches out and touches the elephant's body and says, "No, it's like a wall." The other one reaches out and touches the elephant's leg and says, "No, it's like a tree." And the last one reaches out and touches the elephant's tail and says, "No, it's like a rope." And as the story goes, who's right? They're all right in their own view. Well, the problem is none of them are right. In fact, not only are none of these people right about what an elephant is, some might be deadly wrong. You know, if you think an elephant is like a wall, you're going to assume that the elephant doesn't move. But if the elephant moves, he might step on your head. So this idea might have really serious consequences. And that's the thing about ideas. They all have consequences. They all matter. In the coming weeks here on the 2-Minute Warning, we're going to talk about ideas. Because not only do they have consequences, they have families, they have feet, they have context, they have champions. Ideas change the world. For the 2-Minute Warning, I'm John Stonestreet.
Amen, amen. The idea of ideas. They all have consequences. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, which path we take. Those who we stand with, they all have consequences. We're in the chat room at freedomizerradio.com, and I'm talking with a couple of guys there, and we're in agreement that the idea of ideas, they all have consequences. And if both parties are evil, then we really don't have a choice. And what is a Christian to do? Well, a true Christian will not vote for the lesser of two evils, but he will vote for no one but the Lord. Amen. It's so out of hand today. I just don't know sometimes, my brothers and sisters. I know that the Lord put on my heart that we need to earnestly and wholeheartedly praise Him. Amen. Amen. And that's why this day we are dedicating this program to praising our Heavenly Father. And let's go back to the old ways. The old way of praising our Lord, there was a shift in the turn gospel music took. What I hear today, brothers and sisters, is not praising God, but rather man boasting themselves about the position that they're in. Oh, sure, they're contributing it to God, but it is not praising God. It is not worship music. But let's hear some. Let's give a look. Listen, look, y'all get to looking through the radio. It's going to be a good one. But give a listen to Only a Look by the late Reverend James Cleveland.
Bow down.
Sing the second verse, Billy. Only a look.
Only a look. And Jesus.
He's merciful.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Only a look from Jesus shall turn me away from sin. Hallelujah. I agree with you, old hippie, that there was something special in the early churches. It seems today that everyone is bragging and boasting, and it's all about them, and they have the church show going on. But as the Word of God tells us, seek the old ways, brothers and sisters, where there is good, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue on this day, and we don't have to worry, brothers and sisters. All of these songs are public domain songs, and they are not held in copyright by anyone, so we don't have any fear of reprisal. Christians don't sue one another anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. And, I've got a few things for you, my brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to make up my mind. It was really in my heart, that the Lord wants us to praise him today. Amen. Let's do this, and then we'll take our commercial break. I was so into that Elijah Rock, and that guy sounds exactly like Mahalia Jackson. That is not Mahalia Jackson, but my goodness, the guy sounds like it. We'll get some more. His name is Joshua Nelson, and we'll get some more of Joshua in our next hour. But right now, let's do this, and then we'll go into our commercial break, and we'll be back on the flip side. You're listening to the Freedomizer Radio Network and the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Sabbath Show. Let us praise the Lord together. Amen. Amen.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archives MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure is not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
When we open our minds to the incredible, unlimited universe, we become participants in the active flow and infinite energy of life. We begin to live a much larger experience. We become free. In the magical universe, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. You are here. You found Freedomizer Radio. See the Power in You is about sharing the light of who you are, exploring different points of view, different perspectives on topics for better health for your mind and your body. Join Miss Cookie and me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and grow the light of who you are right here at Freedomizer Radio.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again, as I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Austin here from Guerrilla Radio, asking you guys to tune in Monday and Wednesday night after the Proof Negative show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, the only network on the web that freedomizes your freedom. And please, people, do not believe the hype. We are not both cynics on Guerrilla Radio.
Wait, you're the cynical one, not me. I'm the realist here. Come on, Cam, you know everybody loves you, even though you're the biggest cynic out there.
Hey, now, Austin, I was talking about you.
Wait, no, we're talking about you. You're the cynical one.
I'm not the cynic one. You're the cynical one. Come on. Everybody knows you're cynical.
Do you believe we are not alone? Are you intrigued by the paranormal and psychic phenomena? Is there something wrong with how the society operates? Do you believe you're here to do something more? Do you feel your freedom's been stripped by the government? Are you concerned about your health and the environment you live in? Join me, Jorena Johnston, spiritual warrior, psychic empath, and secure party creditor on Illuminating Minds every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on FreedomizerRadio.com, and journey further down the rabbit hole with me. See you there.
Your life experience is right at your fingertips. You can achieve anything that you can think of. you have the power to change your experience anytime you want. Explore cutting-edge research on the brain, mind, body, and spirit, and how applying this information can mean transforming your every experience. Talk about all this and more every Sunday night, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time, on the show It's Just a Ride with Tom Casella, here at FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey guys, tune into the Heated Conversation hosted by me, Vicky.
Yep,
those GMOs and chemtrails, oh my. We talk about anything and everything as long as it's hot. So call in and join the discussion live Thursday nights, 10:30 to midnight, and Friday nights, 9 to midnight Pacific. Only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Praise the Lord, and we're back. Hallelujah. And we are observing a day of praise here on the Sound Doctrine Sabbath Show. And right now, I guess we'll go over to the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview. And if you guys would like, give us a call. Our number here is 347-324-3704. What happened to the music of the church? Where did we go so awry? When did it come about us? Because if you listen at the lyrics in most of the gospel songs, it's only people bragging about how they are doing so much better and how good God has been to them and what have you. And that's really not that's not gospel music. That is not, you know, that's not going to draw anyone into the kingdom. That is creating jealousy, if anything. Okay. Oh, there's our brother. Let's squeeze him in before we go to our breakpoint commentary.
I'm feeling squeezed. Oh, that hurt. Oh, man, you squeezed me too tight, dude.
God bless you. How you doing, Brother
God bless,
Larry?
Man. I'll tell you what you're squeezing me in for, I don't have enough time to cover. I had a discussion with ABC last night, and it's going to have to carry over into Tuesday night. And he was, you know, talking about a lot of different esoterical mumbo-jumbo garbage, and that I did confront him on, but that's another story. But he had mentioned, you know, Sir Isaac Newton, which I really use the term loosely, sir, because to me he wasn't anything worthy of being called a knight. And Isaac Newton had referred to what he called Solomon's Temple and the construction thereof. And something I disagreed with, because in Ezekiel, that's not Solomon's Temple. That's a reconstruction of a temple and the building of a temple according to the way God commands it. But that's not Solomon's temple. Solomon only built a temple. His temple is commanded by God. Okay?
Right.
But it's,
right, right.
Now, by the time we get to Ezekiel, Solomon's temple has been destroyed. And only
destroyed.
Solomon can build Solomon's temple. If you build anything else but that, it's not Solomon's temple anymore. I know it's a
it's
matter
your
of
temple.
Technicality. Yeah.
You know, it's your
Ezekiel,
temple based on the schematics of Solomon's temple.
Well, actually, no, it was based on the schematics that God gave Ezekiel. Because remember, Ezekiel got the vision from God. Similarity, but totally different for the most part. If you compare the two temples, they're not the same. Because I went back and looked last night after ABC's show was over. I looked up Solomon's temple and looked up Ezekiel's vision for a temple, okay? And if you compare the two, there are great differences. And I don't have time to go into all of it. But anyway, they
sure
were talking
you do.
About
this,
the seven
wait,
candles.
Wait.
Yes.
This is my show.
What?
This is my show. If I say you got time to go into it, you got time to go into it.
Yesterday.
I heard somebody out there, too.
Right, Brother Scorpion?
It's like
how you doing?
Or like be having a blood clot.
one side, you can fall on the one side.
That sounds like Mr. B. That doesn't sound like Scorpion.
Right.
No.
Ken, do you have like a bunch of different people muted? I mean, unmuted?
Okay, well, so anyway, go into it, Brother Larry.
All right. Well, see, now, because he was talking about Sir Isaac Newton, and I really hate that term, sir, because he's not a knight. I didn't even dress up
in
armor.
I mean, the difference is between the temple.
Yes, I know. But that was something else that bothered me, because it used to be the title of sir had to be earned, not given. But anyway, it's kind of like being a Marine. You had to earn it. It ain't given to you. Well,
brother,
if you make it
through basic training as a Marine, you're a Marine.
That's right. Hey, let me tell you what. My dad was a Marine, and still is. Okay, not active. My childhood. Okay, let's put it this way: Marine boot camp would have been easier than my childhood.
I kind of think they were similar.
Probably. Very much so. Because I had people tell me, you know, when I was growing up, they'd say, you'll fit right in boot camp. Everything that you do here, except for a few things, you know, you dig gardens, you do push-ups, you run, you shoot weapons. Man, about the only thing you don't use is the word sergeant.
You went through the obstacle course?
My dad made sure that when I got to junior high and high school, I did track. I did high jump, long jump. I ran long distance cross country, and you had to run through the woods and over logs and all that kind of stuff. And I did the jungle gym when I was a kid, you know, doing pull-ups, climbing a rope up to a ceiling and then coming back down, climb trees.
Oh, yeah, that's gymnastics. Obstacle course is a bit more intense than that.
I know, I've seen that. But you know what? When I was a kid, from the climbing trees and all that other stuff, that looked like fun. I was ready to do it.
Praise the Lord. Praise
the
Lord.
So anyway, all that aside, yes, we're digressing. For example, all right, Isaac Newton talked about the seven candlesticks, and ABC had mentioned that represented the seven planets. Actually, Isaac Newton was wrong on that. It did not represent seven planets. See, sometimes people didn't understand what they were reading. If they see heavenly bodies, there are different meanings to heavenly bodies. That can mean angels, not necessarily planets. The seven angels.
Okay. That's true.
In the book of Revelation, the seven trumpets get blown. The seven vials of God's wrath get poured out. You have all these different angels doing things. The seven candlesticks do not represent planets. In, God help me, what's the name of the candlestick holder for the eight candles?
Don't tell me you're referring to wormwood, are you?
No.
Okay.
What are this? No, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm kind of having a mind blank right now. I just got finished eating breakfast, and yeah, I know it's kind of late for breakfast, but get over it. I'm a truck driver. We're allowed to have breakfast late. But anyway, the
difference is between the temples.
Yeah. For one, Ezekiel, his temple, is constructed differently. It's not a lot of cedar. It's more stone. I'd have to go through all of it. You have to take the two books side by side and read them all. But instead of being an emphasis on a lot of cedar, although there is some, it's mostly hewn stone and a place where they really do expect God to be present, entrance for him thereof. Let's see.
oh gosh, I don't have any of this mark because I really didn't expect you to like spend this much time on it, so I would just touch briefly on it. But people have to go look for themselves and read through Solomon and look at how Solomon lined the temple with cedar of Lebanon and things like that, whereas Ezekiel's temple was more on pleasing God.
I tell you what, why don't you, you know, do what you have to do to get the two comparisons together and join us tomorrow on the program, and I'll give you some time then to go into it. How about that?
Well, I need you to make a prayer for me that Tyson gets their act together so I can get the heck out of Amarillo. Also, there was a lot more in-depth apportion of land to the tribes, too, by the way, in Ezekiel. In chapter 48, he talks about the borders of all the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Ezekiel much? And the
pretty
river,
much.
It also has, it talks about the river flowing from the temple.
Exactly.
Is that in Solomon's temple?
No.
Thank you.
There was a body of water, but it wasn't a river flowing through it.
It was a pool, but not a river flowing. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, there are minor similarities. Well, actually, not minor, because there is like the place for guilt offering and all that stuff. But I think my prayer just got answered. No, but
amen.
Very low, just got ready. Please head out there and get it picked up. Good deal. Yes, Tyson, it's ready to go. About time. I've been waiting for 2 days. They had a recall on beef.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it wasn't on the news. It was just that I mentioned it last night. They had to call like 20 or 30 trucks back off the highway. Everybody had to turn around and come back. And then they had to unload it. Inspect it. And the whole plant got shut down for a day, which that's a lot. But anyway, it caused delay in my load big time because then they had to redo everything. So I'm 2 days behind, and who knows when they're going to tell me I have to be up in Seattle now. I was supposed to be up in Seattle in 2 days. But anyway. There's just too many differences, but I wanted to touch base with you on that. I'm not going to leave right away because I'm making coffee. They didn't tell me fast enough. They should have told me a lot sooner before I started my coffee pot. I'm not driving down the road with my coffee brewing. But I wanted to touch base with you on that because I hear so many of these New Agers and stuff refer to books, and they don't reference and check the books out and make sure that they're valid. They just take it for gospel, because this is my little rant here, and I get tired of it. These people read these books and say, oh, well, it must be true. This person said it. And I'm like, well, no, actually, why don't you follow up and go look at what that person said at the original source so that you know whether or not that person's lying and feeding you a bunch of lies. People are so quick to say some little book that somebody wrote is gospel truth, but yet refuses to go to the book of originality.
That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I can hold a crystal up to my head and know all the truth. Good luck. You will not like the judgment God bestows upon you for, one, leading people astray and teaching them falsely. And
okay.
Then also, I know that there's a little bone I have to pick with you, too, though, because you don't call people out. You're afraid of problems within the family, so to speak. And I understand that to a degree, but it's just my own.
No, not so much. I just address the issue, you know, where it come from. I just want to get the truth out. So I'll bring up the issue, and I don't necessarily call out another host's name.
A person.
I wouldn't do that, but I would address, you know, whatever issue, you know, that they said that didn't line up with the word of God, and then I would, you know, come up with the truth, because that's what it's all about, making sure
people
know that this is a lie.
And believe these people, okay? And this is a problem I have. And I see these people say things that are as crazy as somebody believing in the cartoons My Little Pony being real. I mean, it's that comical sometimes. I have to stop and think, you people really can't believe in this stuff. But yet they do, I guess.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Yes, I know. Hey, believe me, I was into the New Age movement back along before I ever got saved, and I just, not like this, but it wasn't wacko kind of thing. I was just like agnostic, looking for truth. And I became, I guess, what you would call an intellectual Christian first, because I realized that what they were teaching in college didn't add up. I mean, you can't have a tree going through 175 million years of rock. It doesn't work that way. And, you know, wood petrifies in 3 months after Mount St. Helens. Well, that doesn't explain, just things don't add up. You can't tell me, well, this tree fell over, rotted, and then petrified. And the whole forest did that eventually. Well, no, actually, from the evidence I saw, the whole petrified forest, for example, in Arizona, fell over all at the same time. They were healthy trees and petrified rapidly, just like Mount St. Helens did, right? And they're trying to tell me in college, well, this happened over millions of years. My backside.
College come up with their own theories, and these are a bunch of men that want to look like they are intellectual, and they come up with these lies, and it, you know, it's just appalling. But let me go ahead. I've got to get to
your thing. I know. I have to get ready anyway. That's cool, man. Yeah, because I have to get ready. I have to take care of my job now. I've had enough playtime for a couple of days. God bless you, Ken, and
the next time you think Christians can't make a difference, think of the fight against human trafficking.
Bye.
Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
At a recent meeting of the Clinton Global Initiative, President Obama discussed his recent executive order combating the scourge of human trafficking. In addition to explaining the policy initiatives, he told the stories of three women in the audience who'd been the victims of what the president regards as a modern-day slave trade. As he put it, quote, "We're shining a spotlight on the dark corners where it persists." And as the president acknowledged, the fact is that the spotlight he speaks of was made possible by the efforts of Christians. The president praised the work of evangelicals, the Catholic Church, International Justice Mission, and World Relief, even individual congregations like Passion City Church in Atlanta. The president's executive order stated that the U.S. government bears a responsibility to ensure that taxpayer dollars do not contribute to trafficking in persons. Among other things, the order forbids federal contractors from using misleading or fraudulent recruitment practices during the recruitment of employees. It also prohibits not paying return transportation costs to the employee's home country upon the end of employment. By the way, this is not an academic concern. Congress has documented instances of federal contractors overseas, quote, "participating in the sex trade, using indentured servants, and otherwise exploiting workers." Since the federal government is the largest purchaser of goods and services in the world, this order has the potential to make a big difference. And it's a difference that would not have happened without the efforts of William Wilberforce's modern-day heirs at the International Justice Mission and similar groups. For the past 30 years or so, slavery has been making a comeback. According to the State Department, more than 27 million people are being compelled to provide services against their will. These services include, but aren't limited to, involuntary domestic servitude, prostitution, child soldiering, and other crimes against human dignity. What's more, this is not an outrage that is only happening somewhere else. The women that President Obama cited were being held in bondage right here where I live in New York City. Many of the earliest reports about slavery's comeback came from dedicated Christians who traveled to those dark corners where Western tourists never go, revealing stories of exploitation and horrors most of us can't imagine. These efforts are the reason that in 2007, Prison Fellowship awarded its highest honor, the William Wilberforce Award, to IJM's founder, Gary Haugen. IJM and other Christian groups have been at the forefront of the effort to put dealing with human trafficking on the nation's to-do list. A recent Religion News Service headline summed up the story nicely, quote, "Religious groups' efforts to fight sex trafficking draws presidential attention." In fact, whenever you read or hear about modern-day slaves escaping bondage, there's good chance that, as was in the case in the 19th century, those helping them escape were Christians. All of this is a reminder that Christians can make a real difference, even in the face of unimaginable human depravity. We can help free people from oppression, and we can convince others to join us in setting the captives free. For more information on International Justice Mission, come to Breakpoint.org, click on this commentary, and we'll link you to them. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
Again, visit Breakpoint.org to link up to the resource Eric discussed today. You can also find out how to get Eric's new e-book, Jesus Hates Dead Religion. Plus, you can browse our online bookstore of other great books and resources. And you can link up to our social media sites, like Facebook and Twitter. We hope you'll join the discussion of the worldview issues you hear about each day on Breakpoint. That's all at Breakpoint.org. Log on soon. By phone, reach us toll-free at 1-877-3-CALL-BP. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Worthy, worthy is the holy, holy Lamb of God. Brothers and sisters, time is running out. All right, and our time is flying today, praise the Lord. We'll be right back right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, and you're listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Sabbath Show.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Praise the Lord. And we're back. All right. Now, I want to go back to the Word of God. And we're going to be reading from the book of Mark, the fourth chapter. For you at home, you can get your Bibles out, dust them off, and turn to the book of Mark in the fourth chapter. I'll give you a minute to try and get things together. And we're going to be reading from starting at the 35th verse. And it is written, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them," let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. Sorry about that. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind increased, and there was a great calm. And when he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him?
Master, the tempest is raging. Oh, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. Oh, no shelter on earth is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? So madly, it's threatening. Oh, a grave, a grave, a grave in the angry deep. Get up, Jesus, because the
shall obey your will.
Obey.
Israel.
It's a myth that's repeated so often we accept it as fact. I've even quoted this one, but it's wrong. Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Maybe you've seen the popular Discovery Channel show Mythbusters. In it, a couple of hilarious special effects experts pit Hollywood and urban legends against scientific tests. Sometimes the myths turn out to be solid facts, but usually the show's hosts bust them and set a lot of things on fire in the process. Well, it's time to bust a favorite myth of our culture. If we've heard it once, we've heard it 1,000 times. The divorce rate among Christians is basically the same as it is among non-Christians. As Glenn Stanton pointed out recently at the Gospel Coalition, we usually hear this argument from fellow Christians who ask, how can we make us think about the sanctity of marriage if we're divorcing at the same rate as the world? It's a popular folk statistic on Christian websites, radio programs, and books, even from the pulpit. The problem is, it's not quite true. As Bradford Wilcox, a leading sociologist at the University of Virginia and director of the National Marriage Project, found in 2007, active conservative members of both Protestant and Catholic churches are significantly less likely to divorce, by 35 and 31% respectively, than Americans who are religiously unaffiliated. The numbers often get skewed, says Stanton, because most studies fail to take into account the level of religious commitment and practice among those who identify themselves as Christians. Those who claim to be Christian but rarely darken the door of a church divorce at a rate 20% higher than secular Americans. So contrary to popular wisdom, most of those who take seriously God's pronouncement, "I hate divorce," in Malachi 2:16, really do seem to, well, hate divorce. Okay, so you might be asking, why does this matter? Well, first off, we're servants of a God who calls himself the truth, and we have to be fearless in our pursuit of it. Statistics never speak for themselves. They're always open to interpretation. So we have to examine the statistics, understand the assumptions they rest on, and draw reasonable, accurate conclusions, just as Stanton has. But second, as Stanton points out, this Christian divorce myth finds an all-too-eager audience among those who oppose Christian sexual ethics. I've heard it argued by liberal activists for years. Christians have no right to lecture the culture about God's plan for marriage. They can't even keep their own marriages together. Well, as Wilcox's study indicates, that's not entirely the case. Faith, more specifically Christianity that's lived out and taken seriously, makes a significant difference in the stability of marriage. Ideas matter. If you think marriage is an agreement designed for happiness and convenience, well, when marriage is no longer convenient and your spouse doesn't make you happy, you're more likely to divorce than those who believe that their marriage is a covenant made before God that serves his purposes. As I explain in this week's 2-Minute Warning, ideas are like roads that lead us to different destinations. So it shouldn't surprise us when ideas about marriage tend to land us in completely different places. I'm not suggesting that Christians have it all together. The divorce rate in the church is still disappointingly high. But this data does expose that one of our culture's favorite charges against Christians is just not true. And it reminds us that the Holy Spirit is not idle when he takes up residence in our lives and in our marriages. As my mentor Bill Brown, president of Cedarville University, often says, you may not live what you profess, but you will live what you really believe. And that's ultimately what makes the Christian idea of marriage true and the world's idea a myth. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Again, please visit Breakpoint.org or ColsonCenter.org to watch the 2-Minute Warning video. Plus, you can browse our online bookstore of great books and other resources. And you can link up to our social media sites like Facebook and Twitter.
Amen. And we're back. And we're going to get ready to get out of here. But we're going out praising the Lord. Old hippie patriot, my brother in the chat room, this one is for you, my brother.
I know the Lord will make a way.
Yes, he will.
You ever heard that one? Godmother knows that
one. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. He'll make a way for me and for you.
Thank you.
10:30 Pacific Standard Time, 12:30 Central Standard Time, which will be 1:30 Eastern. And we'll come back and we'll do it all over again. The word, the encouragement, the calls, and the praises of our Lord. Hallelujah. I really enjoyed myself with you guys today, with our callers, with all of you guys in the chat room. I honestly love you guys. Thank you all for being here. It is an honor and a blessing for me to serve each and every one of you. Those of you who are listening to the archives, blessings to you as well. We love you all. Stay tuned for the Dr. Prepper Show with preparedness author James Talmadge Stevens. We love you. God bless. Peace to your homes.
On the air, everywhere. It's the Dr. Prepper Show with number one best-selling preparedness author, James Talmadge Stevens. On this show, you'll learn more in an hour than some people learn in a year. As the economic and political climate in the United States continues to deteriorate, now more than ever, it pays to be prepared. Get a friend, grab a chair, sit back, and please give a warm welcome to your host, Dr. Prepper.
Good afternoon, Freedomizer. I am Dr. Prepper, and this is the Dr. Prepper Show this afternoon on a Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central Daylight Saving Time still. Tickled to have you with us. Hopefully today we can do some stuff about food. We've kind of gotten off track sometimes in the past, but after all, it's what you folks want to talk about, so that's okay with me. Sometimes I'm just not able to meet your expectations on some of the questions, and I have my own opinions about things. I didn't say they were always true, as things are, but it is what I either believe or know. I am Dr. Prepper. I have an announcement to make right up front. I don't know who will be co-joining to help along. I don't like taking over the show, but I can. This week, we sold 800,000 copies. Oh, hello?
I'm still here, sir.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good, Minister. Good to have you. I was just going to announce that we've sold now 800,000 books. I'm out of books. We sold out the last printing, and so don't know that I'll be able to reprint them. It's $40,000 or more. They won't, and I have to pay for them when they're printed and then pay for the shipping, and that's a lot of money at my age. I was contemplating retiring finally at 74 years of age. And having that much inventory could be good, but, gee, I'd be here to mail the books. And it was like when I had chickens back during Y2K. I was owned by the chickens. I had to be here to let them out in the morning because we live out in the country, and if they don't roost at night in a safe place, they don't exist in the morning. They're gone. They're somebody else's dinner or breakfast. And we just couldn't go anywhere,
yeah.
So we've had to get rid of the chickens. And we couldn't eat enough of them, so we had a friend who took them another 30 miles out in the boonies further than we are, and he now has a chicken ranch. Now, wait a minute, that's not a Texas chicken ranch, of course. He really raises a lot of chickens. We had several different kinds, and so he's done very well, and occasionally we'll drop by, see how he's doing. He'll give us a couple of dozen eggs or so. And right now we have a cat that makes it easy. Gee, I don't know how we got the cat. We could take the dog with us, but you can't take a cat on the road with you. They just, you've heard the expression herding cats? Boy, herding a cat is tough enough. They don't mind. They have a mind of their own. So as my mother used to say, you don't own a cat. They have you as staff. So it's just the way it is. But we're out of books. But if you go on to makingthebestofbasics.com, that's makingthebestofbasics.com, I've reduced the download $10 to $29.95. It's a free download. It's free, quick and free. You don't have any freight on it. It's free freight, I should have said. There's no freight, no weight, and it's instant. And it has not only the 562-page book, but another 9,000 pages of information about preparedness from the entire book of technology, old technology, what was called basic technology back in its day. It's really fantastic information and all kinds of stuff from the old FEMA, which was good, the old Red Cross, which is better than it is today, and including stuff all the way back through the old civil defense groups and things that did a whole much better job than anything the government's come up with. So free enterprise reigned in those days. All that is available. You can print it out if you want. You can read it. It's all PDF. It works on any platform, and now that's down to $29.95. It's a heck of a bargain. And you can print out the pages you want, and the important thing about the book is it'll walk you through preparedness, through the principles as well as through the details. I mean minutia for taking care of what you have, inventorying what you have, keeping track of what you need. You determine what you want, what you like. And you can literally go through with it. And you have to use a calculator and a pencil. And the reason is you've got to put some energy into this. You've got to think it through and get a big eraser. But the thing about it is you can print out, instead of writing in your book, you can print out the pages you want. You wouldn't want to print every page. It'd be far more expensive than the book. But we have it on CD-ROM also. The CD-ROM has been reduced to $19.95 plus $3.75 shipping. So for under $25, you can get the book. And it has the 9,000 pages attached to it also. So if you buy them both, and a lot of people do because they want to be able to print anytime they want and have the other on their hard drive. But if you get both, you don't have to pay any freight. I picked that up for you. So anyway, the book is still available and it's selling well. The digital version is really good for. If you download it to an iPad, iPod, or any of those portable devices, you have to load it to your computer first, then reload it into your mobile device. It's just too big a program to go don't do it that way. Do it by Bluetooth or by wire or some kind of a physical connection after you get it into your computer. It's just far easier to do. It doesn't mess up. It doesn't black out on you, and it doesn't use up all your batteries. So just be aware that's something you should do. So it's now available. It's all we have. I guess the book may be printed next year. I don't think we'll do anything before Christmas. It'll take a month, and then it's Christmas time, and we miss the market anyway. So we're just going to go where we are. But be a part of the best-selling, all-time, ever best-selling book in the history of preparedness, and I think it'll help you become better prepared. Walking through the basics, it takes you from using the products, what to do, how to build a basic program, how to use the parts and pieces, a few recipes to get you started. This afternoon, I thought I'd take, unless I get questions, either in the chat room, and Minister Emmanuel, if you'd watch that for me and kind of say, hey, something's happening, because I can't watch the screen and talk at the same time. It distracts me.
I got you.
You got my back on that?
I got your back, Doc. Don't panic.
Watch my front. So I'm going to tell you some things I did this. Maybe every week we could go through a few of this, and then you folks can listen, and then you may have the same. You may have an idea of some things you might want to tell me, too. I'm going to tell you some things that I did this week to become better, get prepared, or get better prepared, because there's still holes. You know, you cannot prepare for everything. It's just impossible. You can't have enough resources or enough place to put. No matter who you are, it matters not. You just can't have enough resources to prepare for everything, because I guess worst case scenario is you'd have to build an ark, and most of us aren't ready to do that, nor been instructed to do so. Huh, Minister Emmanuel?
Well, I'm looking here in the chat room, and they're talking about using bay leaves to deter bugs when you're storing things in food
bottles. That will never work. Go away. It's the world's worst rumor. It's been out there since day one. It may work when you don't have any bugs. It will work if you don't have any bugs and you don't have any eggs. Then they don't reproduce. But bay leaves are not a long-term conclusion. If you want to find out more about that, go to Barbara Salisbury's, look her up, that's Salisbury. Barbara did a treatise. She's one of the top people in food storage that I know. She's my age. Oh, she's a lot younger because she says so. But she had written her book 2 years before I got into business, I wrote my book, and she was at the event when my book came out, when it was about 121 pages and a dollar a copy. It's gone up a little bit, but and she said, came over to said, "I always want to write a book like yours." I said, "Honey, you've written several books," and she sold tens and tens and thousands of books, and she has 11, 12, 13 of them. But Barbara Salisbury, S-A-L-S-B-U-R-Y, and she has an article on her site. I can't remember the name of it, but I can find it during the break. And she's commented on, they've tried it. She actually did a test, and she says there are no bay leaves are no effect at all. In fact, the animals eat that also. It does not work. There are some things that do. And I can tell you what they are if you'd like. We can start with dry ice, and in my book it tells you how to do that, but you can't let it touch the wheat or other whatever kernel you're using, whatever seeds you're using, because it will kill them. It just sucks the life out of them or freezes the life out of them. So you don't want it to touch. You would have a bucket full of dead wheat around it because of the intensity of the cold and dry ice. But you can use dry ice fumes because it's CO2. It will choke out. It pushes the air out, oxygen out of the bucket. You then slam. You get to push the lid down on it, and it will. The bugs can't live through that. Another way is some people freeze grain, seeds, and things like that for 3 or 4 days, and that will kill the larva. Not always the eggs, but it's a pretty good chance that it will. I prefer diatomaceous earth. You can't remove enough oxygen, basically. You got to put something in its place. Just putting in a dry pack to keep the moisture out of it will not kill the bugs. It doesn't take out enough of the oxygen. It would suck the sides of the bucket or the pail in or whatever the storage container is if it, in order to get all the oxygen out, as it would shrink, as it shrinks the oxygen supply, it's going to suck in the sides.
Okay. Slow down, sir. Where are the bugs coming from? Are they in
they're
the
in the sweet. Their bugs are all over plants because the animal, the little insects are all out in your. They're on the wheat. They're in the air. They fly around. They land. They lay their eggs, and we can get the animals or the little. We can get the bugs out. What we can't get is their eggs.
Oh.
And it doesn't. The bug, if you squash it, it's just protein. You won't even know it. There's so few of them typically in anything that you can literally eat them and not know it. And we just tell people it's protein. Meat. Just go with it. I'm serious. Yeah. But here's a way to stop it. If you will take diatomaceous earth, and I'm talking about a pint in a 55-gallon drum. Pour it on the top, then roll the drum around, or a 5-gallon bucket. You can put a quarter of a cup or something like that in the top of a 5-gallon bucket. Put the lid on, roll it around, let the kids have some fun in the living room. Roll it around, not down the hill, but anyway, roll it around so the stuff will spread out. Diatomaceous earth is the most effective way to kill bugs, but it's non-selective. We use it in the garden. Use it in horse stables. We put it in horse feed, cattle feed of all kinds. It gets all the hard shell and even annelida, the worms and things come right out of animals because it destroys their carapace, the hard parts of their external body, so that they literally lose all their body fluids and die. And that's the purpose of it. So I put that in. I tried that. I proved it. I grew up using diatomaceous earth for the animals, and one day it dawned on me after I'd written, the book had been out for 10 years or so, and somebody kept talking about bay leaves. I said, you got to have a better way, get off that old wives' tale. It doesn't work. There's no herb that you can put in that will kill the bugs that won't hurt you. So I could tell you some herbs you could use, but then you couldn't eat the food. So the important thing is, if you'll put diatomaceous earth in it, and that's food grade, not the stuff you put in the swimming pool, not the mixes that come for swimming pool filter refills and things like that, just go down to your organic store or feed store and ask for the food grade. That's what they give animals. So if you ask for food grade, you can buy it fairly cheap. I think it's about $1 a pound. If you buy 55 gallons, it's as cheap as 30, 40 cents a pound. Pretty cheap stuff. And you can throw it around. By the way, we use it in construction. When we're doing new construction around our house, we would take handfuls of diatomaceous earth and throw it in the walls. We put up one side, then we'd throw it on against the walls and let it fall down into the bottom before we nailed up the second sheetrock, side of the sheetrock. And we never had a cockroach. They kill all kinds of hard. The carapace is the waxy exoskeleton of bugs. And it gets pill bugs and ladybugs, so it's non-discriminatory. It kills it all. So you don't want to use it where you have your friendly bugs. But it takes out scorpions and crickets and anything that has a hard shell on it. So you put it in your feed, and it will give it a nice light coating because it's very fine. And think of it as shards of glass that you have to walk over. And when the bug crawls over it, it scrapes him. And we're talking bugs are really these things are small you can hardly see them. With a microscope you can get them into view, but they move over this over the grit, and when they do it scratches them. It scratches that waxy exoskeleton, and they literally dehydrate. It doesn't suck anything out of them. It's not absorbent. It just opens up the wax so that they dehydrate. And it may take 6 to 8 hours for that to accomplish itself, but it's sure. Now, the eggs aren't hurt at all until they hatch and start to move around, and then they're dead. Now, if they're dead, they can't lay eggs. So that's when it ends.
You think?
It's that simple. I'm sorry, you said?
You think if they're dead, they can't lay eggs?
You think if they're dead, they're not going to reproduce. So the secret is killing them. And once you kill that second generation, there's no third. So that's the best way I know, and it doesn't suck out the airs, it doesn't introduce nitrogen, it doesn't overdo anything. So people argue all the time, well, you put nitrogen in, and that will preserve it. Yeah, but you also, a plant doesn't grow. The seed didn't grow in nitrogen, in a nitrogen environment. So how long is it going to keep? You need to open it up every once in a while and aerate it, let the air get in it, move it around a bit so air can get through it, then put the lid back on. But people don't think about that because, you see, the industry is driven by people who just cut, paste, and made it up as they go, and then they publish that information. Every day I go searching. If you want to do something fun, go to Google, and on Google you can have them search items for you. I have them searching for, of course, Dr. Prepper, because I get a lot of people imitating me, and that's the most sincere form of flattery, by the way. You just have to. I don't get mad. I get I'm humored by some of the things people quote me on. But anyway, I look for survivalist. I look for preparedness. I look for survivalism. I got about 14 or 15 things I ask them to search for. So every day I get a report from Google. They send it to me. It costs me nothing. And I get to see every article that's out there. Now, preparedness, if they mention they're practicing preparedness, they're preparing in New Jersey for a new park. Well, that will come up too because it's non-discriminatory. It's just looking for the words that you it does a word search. But you can have it bring you stuff like that. And if you want to do that on Google for Freedomizer, you'd be surprised the things that are being said about you and said to you that you're not hearing if you do a search like that. So I put my radio show name there, and I get nice things, people saying, hey, go listen to this show, it's good for you, or whatever. So there is good, there's also some bad. It is the internet, it is what it is. So you might use that as a tool to find out more about what you want to know. And if you're looking for angleworms, you can write in angleworms, and every time angleworm comes up in any article that's on Google, the crawler will find it and send it to your address. It's a fantastic way to get information. You'll be tickled by some of the things you see and hear that it comes up with, but it also goes through YouTube and everything else. So it's a tremendous resource if you're searching for information. For example, if you want freeze-dried food, ads for freeze-dried food, put in freeze-dried food, stand back from the screen once a day or twice a day, you can get it. It'll bring you anywhere freeze-dried food has been mentioned since the last time it was mentioned somewhere. You'll get that information into your inbox, ready to read. It's a pretty slick way of doing, have somebody else do the homework for you. So today, let me tell you a couple of things I did this week. I was looking around the internet, and I found a product called LRP. That's Long Range Patrol. That is a Mountain House product, and I found them at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com, and he has LRPs. The LRP is a different, you know, they have Mountain House in Walmart and camping places where it's one or two servings in a bag. Well, this is a military package. It's a lot. There's about 50% more food in it, and it has more. They have meat in it, real protein meat, real beef, real chicken, real turkey, and stuff like that in the different menus. And it has a flap that. Let me go back. It's kind of squarish and it's in a block, whereas most everything else Mountain House does is loose and you can shake it in the bag. This one is like vacuum packed. Instead of being loose, and it was done to keep it small, and you can put a bunch of these in a pack, drop out of an airplane, and go on do your homework, and have lots of really good food in a pack. All you have to do is cut open the top with your survival knife, pour some hot water in it, give it about 6 to 8 minutes, and you've got a delicious hearty meal for a man, for a person who's out on the run. And I bought beef stew and chicken stew and some of the other things I wanted, and they're really heavy on the meat, which is about 60% more meat than typical food serving that they put out. So LRPs, go to freezedryguy.com, and you'll find those. I don't remember how much they were. I have a budget, and I could spend within the budget. It was first of the month. My budget was brand new, and it was real, so I bought some. And when I went there, I also found out he has a lot of other things. He has some meats on sale, has some bug-out buckets, he calls them. He also has a plan to help people, and he's not paying me for this. This is what I found. They have a pay-as-you-go plan. You can say, I'm going to spend $150 a month, and give me a credit card, and every month they'll send you $150 worth of food. I think they include freight, and they give you bonus bucks. That means you got a savings plan, so to speak. They also happen to carry AquaPail. You'll find them there, and our new AquaBrick. So those are the things he just happened to sell, and that's why I was eager to buy them, because he's the only guy that had the LRPs that I know of. I put it into my LRP into my browser, and I couldn't find. And then I put Long Range Patrol, and I couldn't find any source except that one. And the home office, and they don't sell direct. So just an interesting place to go shopping if you're looking for freeze-dried food. That's freezedryguy.com, and he has some other things there too you might be interested in. And good man, I know him personally. I see him at shows. And it's a good product. I have them here. I bought several boxfuls and got those for my long range patrol, which is to live until I'm 100. Now, another product I found was the Wonder WaterBrick. That's at waterbrick.org. WaterBrick is a squarish cube, like not quite cube, but it's a storage bucket that has a really good gasket in it, which I really like. And it's non-BPA, and you can get about a gallon and a half, 1.6 gallons of water in it, and you can store food. I put my rice. I love my rice. In fact, before I came on, I went over to the house and started some boiling. Well, I actually put my rice into a pan that I was heating. I put some coconut oil into it, and kind of scouted around the bottom of the pan until it's turning slightly brown and smelling really good. Then I poured the water in, let it come to a boil, put the lid on, and when this show is over, I'm going to have myself some rice. I also put some chicken on we had that was in storage that I'd gotten some time ago, opened a can and had to use it up. So I put some chicken in. I rehydrated it for about an hour, and then I put it in and started it cooking with water to make sure it gets all the way to the center. You have to be careful. When you rehydrate, you have to make sure water gets all the way to the core. And I put that on, and that was boiling with the lid on it, and I turned it off. So both of those sitting over there just kind of mellowing out and with the heat decreasing slowly over the next hour or next 30 minutes now. And I'll have myself one heck. I'll make myself a little gravy with some cornstarch and a little salt and pepper and a couple of chicken bouillon cubes. And life will be absolutely fantastic. My wife is out getting her hair done. I'm going to have to fix my own dinner tonight. So it's going to be, I'll do it my way, country boy. So that's how you use stuff. One of the things I also found, the rice I bought, let me tell you where I found some bargains this week. We have a Big Lots. We have several Big Lots in San Antonio. Big Lots is all over. They've merged with a number of other discount companies till they've pretty much succeeded nationwide. They buy factory overruns, train wrecks, damaged goods or damages caused by fire. What they buy and failure, business failures. They have some things you ought to go look at. They're very inexpensive. One thing I found was the Bear Creek Country Kitchen's food. You can buy a package of food. It's $3 for creamy wild rice. You knew it'd be rice, didn't you? Creamy wild rice, $3, make a half a gallon. It is absolutely, just add water. Of course, then I go chop up some of that chicken and put it in to give it a little more chicken body, because they don't normally put chicken and beef into foods that are that inexpensive. But it also is the part that goes, it's the part of the package or the part of the product that goes bad first. It gets rancid. So put your own meat in it. But that was $3. That will serve about 10 people, which is a heck of a deal. I found also that they had some home-style Kraft macaroni and cheese, four cheese version. I think it was $1.29 or something, $1.25, and I bought up about 10 or 12 of those. That's all they had left. They love me coming to the store because I'm a bargain hunter when it comes to food. Also, I found some boxes of chicken broth. It's liquid, and it's non-fat, and I found some vegetable broth, which is organic. And you know, we're talking a buck for a quart, and you can make a big meal out of a quart because you can just pour it in, throw some veggies in it, a little salt and pepper if you like, whatever you like. You can fix it the way you want. So learn how to find bargains and how to turn them into food, because now when you're not under a tremendous lot of pressure, if you make a mistake, nobody dies. What you don't want to do is make those mistakes when you're under tremendous pressure and you don't have anything to cook on and your pots and pans are dirty because you don't have water to wash them with. Now's the time to learn to do these things. So those are some things that are important. And one other product, just for the break. I found another product called Aqua Pod Kit. Aqua, like AQUA, Pod, POD, Kit. It's made up in Austin, American-made product. It's a temporary in-bathtub emergency water storage bladder. It's a balloon, as it were. You can put it inside your tub, kind of spread it out a little bit, just when you are suspect that something's going to happen or you're notified or given a warning or at least issued an alert, you take this puppy, you fill it up with water. And you put then you screw the cap on it, and it just sits there in your bathtub. I'm not going anywhere. It's very heavy. It's a bladder, and it just holds the water. And then they have a little pump that comes with it that allows you to get the water out as you need it. You don't have to treat the water as it goes in. You can treat it as it's going to be clean. The balloon is clean, or the bladder is clean, and so you've got clean water. If you're cooking, typically speaking, I boil my water before I put anything into it just to make sure, because I live on a well, and you never know what gets in a well, or a cistern. I have a 3,300-gallon cistern out there, and I see things coming out of some of the holes in that cistern I would not want to eat. So I always boil water. I take a bath in it, no problem. Brush my teeth, I'm okay. But eat I'm a little more careful about that because I never know who's going to eat with me, and I don't want to make someone who has a low immunity get sick because I can handle my own water and maybe nobody else can. Remember, I'm a little third world country out here on top of my hill because we have our own well, we have our own power source, and we have everything but solar. So we just, and we have animals running around on it, and our well is not very deep. And so we have to be careful when we share our food, our water with other people, because they may not be used to country water that comes out of our well. And it's a shallow well. So anyway, aquapod kit.com. Go there, and you can find out about their emergency water storage product. I think it's $10 or $12 at retail, and if you go, all these things, usually most things can be bought on Amazon.com, except Aquapail. You can't buy Aquapail on Amazon.com, but everything else that I've seen today is available. And of course, the Long Range Patrol can only be bought through Freeze Dry Guy. He doesn't put his stuff on Amazon, but Amazon's a great resource. I find a lot of things at Big Lots. I also go down to China, Harbor Freight, if you've ever heard of them. They're not in every town, but they're big and throughout the country, and they have a great mail order program. So you might try Harbor Freight. That's Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, like down by the water, Harbor. And they have a lot of tools and things and pumps and storage things and this and that and tools that are really, really inexpensive. And they're fairly good quality. They have a year warranty on everything and virtually everything they sell. And I've used many of their products in my business. And if I've had a problem, they made it good. I've had very few problems. And I use their pumps for putting air in tires and pumping up my, I guess you'd call it a compressor, air compressor. I have several different sizes of air compressors that we move around. I've used them in painting and cleaning up painting and nailing and all kinds of sawing and all kinds of stuff. But it's a great place. You can buy motors. You can buy generators, and they're fairly inexpensive. Yes, it's all import. They're probably, you'd think they're a subsidiary of Walmart. They have so much Chinese goods, but if it's a budget and you think it'll work for you, go get it. I have no hang-ups about getting value if you can. You just have to check everything tightly. By the way, when you go to Big Lots, make sure you check the dates because sometimes they buy closeouts, and those closeouts can come from any number of sources. For example, if a company wants into a food store anymore, a food store chain, they have to buy out what they're replacing. And if they're not replacing anything, they have to buy the shelf space. It's amazing. The company has to buy the shelf space or the product that's in the space it wants or has earned, and so they have to do something with it. They can't repackage it as their brand. It's not their brand. So they liquidate it, and Big Lots does that for them, and it's just the old American way. So you'll find that as one of the options you have. If you've ever shopped there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, try it out. Just be careful. Check everything. They'll be name brands. A lot of things they carry in stock all the time. Particularly, I like the spice rack. They have a fantastic spice collection, and it's fairly reasonable. It used to be 33 cents a bottle. They made the bottle a little larger. Now it's $1 a bottle. Who knows where it'll be next weekend. But learn to shop judiciously and wisely. Make sure you have a list of what you want and look for it and have a little, what shall we call it, a little grease in your budget, so that if you see four cans of something for $1, you won't feel deprived if you spend your $1 on that instead of something else that you might have planned or might have wanted that weekend. Only you can make those decisions. Well, Minister, we've hit the bottom of the hour. Do you need to take some time to pay for us being here?
I can do that right now, Doctor. You're listening to the Dr. Prepper Hour right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
You are listening. Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants.
I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
Austin here from Guerrilla Radio, asking you guys to tune in Monday and Wednesday night after the Proof Negative Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, the only network on the web that freedomizes your freedom. And please, people, do not believe the hype. We are not both cynics on Guerrilla Radio.
Wait, you're the cynical one, not me. I'm the realist here. Come on, Cam, you know everybody loves you, even though you're the biggest cynic out there.
Hey now, Austin, I was talking about you.
Wait, no, we're talking about you. You're the cynical one.
I'm not the cynical one. You're the cynical one. Come on. Everybody knows you're cynical.
Val Villano here. I am proud to announce the premiere of Recharge Radio, my new show right here on Freedomizer. It's Monday through Thursday from 3 to 5 Pacific. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order. Being a New World Order analyst for many years, my expertise on tactics and master plan implementation carried out by the elitists who govern our world, I base my theories on objective probability analysis on both current and past events to bring a new light of understanding in the world in which we live. I believe I have a dynamic news coverage with intel information from insiders in revealing their strategy to the public to help you prepare. Along with my superior guest interviews, I also believe that we will be taking a commanding lead in quality journalism to the airwaves right here on Freedomizer. Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Dr. Prepper Hour with preparedness author James Talmadge Stevens.
Well, we're back. We really are. And we're live. And I was just checking through the chat room to see what's going on. I had the moment to do that and hit on a couple of those links to see what's going on. So, basically, there's a lot of truth and there's a lot of fiction in what's going on out there. Food in America is fairly safe. The things we have to watch out for are basically heat and cold, which can cause what freezing damages canned goods. It will split the can because water, if they have water in them, of course, it'll expand. That could crack the can. Cans aren't as good as they used to be. Back when I was growing up, they were much thicker. They're much thinner today, and some are enameled inside, some are not. Finding food, again, the basic rule, that three-legged stool on which you have to stand to put this program together, is that you store what you eat. So that means you have to take the time to determine what you want. My book will walk you through all that detail in minutiae, in 19 big charts. It's, you know, 40 pages of charts. If you go through it laboriously, it will help you make it'll help you finalize your decisions as to really what you like. There are many ways to determine what you like. One is just write it down. Sit around the table with the family, and the kids will tell you what they like. And, you know, one guy told me he likes Twinkies. He said, "I really like Twinkies." I said, "Well, you know, it's really simple. You need to learn how to dehydrate them. You need to know how to freeze them and freeze-dry them, and you need to pickle them, and you need to bottle them, and you need to, you know, there's so many, boil a few, parboil them. And there's so many things that you, so many ways to store food. I like jerky, for example. Jerking meat is really a good way. If you're careful, you can do it a whole lot cheaper. You can do it for just a little bit more than the cost of the meat that you buy if you use meat. You can jerk veggies also. You just have to get them dry, dry them out enough that it's not a spawning place for bacteria. You also want to keep flies and other animals off of the while you're doing the drying, because they can lay eggs, which later will come back to haunt you. So, so much is possible. There's a chapter in my book. There's a chapter on dehydrating. There's a chapter of both veggies and fruits, and even how to make your own jerky at the end of the chapter. I added it on as an afterthought because I figured everybody knew how to do that, but then I'm finding out not everybody knows everything. And sometimes you get interesting information off the internet. Have I ever made a mistake? Yes. My book that would tell you the mistakes I've made and chronicle the stuff I've thrown away and the way I've messed things up at times would be 10 times, it would be a novel compared to the little book I've written that's 562 pages, 8.5 by 11, weighs 3 pounds. This would be the Encyclopedia Britannica that chronicle all my mistakes. And we make them. And you just have to learn not to get upset when you make one. Yes, you can store eggs by rubbing them with just coating them with mineral oil and keeping them in a cool place and turning them once in a while. There are lots of ways of doing it. Somebody mentioned, well, in France, they don't put milk in refrigeration. When I lived in France, you couldn't afford refrigeration in a small, you know, it just didn't exist back in the early, late 50s when I was there. But they put it in a septic package. They have flashed it up at 140 degrees for just a moment to kill all the bugs in it, and then they package it in a septic package, and you don't have to refrigerate it until you open it. They put it up in small enough cartons that you can use it all at one time. Don't be misled, because what something looks like, it may not be what it looks like. Just to say they don't refrigerate it doesn't mean they haven't gone to a lot of effort to make sure that animals cannot grow within their product. Cheese is a fermentation. If you can get some milk, if you have powdered milk and some water and something with a little cream in it, to give you the cream, you can take powdered milk without any cream at all in it, and you can make yogurt out of it. If you can make yogurt, you can turn it into a soft cheese. If you can make a soft cheese, you can turn it into a hard cheese. And you can flavor it any flavor you want. You can put salt in it or not. You can put some other flavoring. You can put anything in it that you like, and then you can hang it in a bag and let it drip dry over a period of weeks and months, And you can make your own cheese very, very easily. I tell you how to do that in the book. That's why powdered milk is a big item. Everybody loves milk. Well, not everybody. But it's you need it in cooking. You need it for cakes. You need it for desserts. You need it for a lot of recipes for making cream sauces and things like that. So we talk about the basics being salt. You have to have salt because it's a chemical agent that's effective in cooking. You also need powdered milk. You need water, of course, in order to have the liquid. And you need wheat. With wheat and water and a little salt, you can make an Indian bread. You can make a flat bread, it's called. It's not, it's not a pancake, but it's more like a tortilla. And you can make that for yourself with just some water and a little grease, a little lard. You need some of that to cook it with. Or you can cook it on a hot pan if you watch it carefully so it doesn't burn. These are all skills you can learn. You can learn how to do this, and you need to learn it now. You need to. I tell people the three most important P's in preparedness are practice, practice, practice. Did I mention that you need to practice? Because the more you practice, the more capable you become. The more things you find out you can do, the more resources you have with a lower investment and with fewer stock keeping items, as it were, SKUs we call them, you don't have so many units to make up something, you can learn to get by very easily if you practice now when you're not under a lot of pressure. Try out new recipes. There are plenty of them around. The world is full of people who are willing to share with you their way of getting things done. So I urge people to do that now while they can. And is there a need to be prepared? There's always a need to be prepared. It's never too late to start, and you can't prepare for everything. So if you put those two things together, just know that anywhere you are is better than you might have been yesterday, or gives you the opportunity, if you're better prepared than your neighbor, to help them if they need the help. So it's really a charitable thing to be able to take care of yourself. And it's even more so if you can help take care of others and do so willingly and kindly. So being prepared is a very good American trait. When we've been unprepared, it's taken us a while to catch up, but we are resilient. We've always come back. And I suspect that no matter what happens economically, fiscally, financially, politically, whatever, we'll come back from it. It may take longer than we want. I hear some pretty dire projection. It'll take us two decades if so-and-so and so-and-so is elected and blah, blah, blah. You know, it may. It may not. We'll get through it. And this stuff about, you know, I get so tickled by the people talking about zombies and stuff like that. They've been going to too many movies. You know, they really need to lighten up and get a life because we as Americans would probably do everything we can to help our fellow man. We always have. And I think we always will. I think as citizens and as friends and neighbors, and we're neighborly even with people who aren't neighborly to us, because it's what's in us. It's because, as you would say, Minister, we're God's children. And since we're brothers and sisters, we tend to look after each other. Maybe we do a better job here than in some other countries. Maybe we're not so polarized that we want to kill everybody who's not like us. Those are things that are maybe better for us here in our economy. It's not the economy it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but it is resilient. I have a hard time thinking that we'll be like Venezuela or some of the other countries where inflation hit so badly. I'm still trying to figure out how gold can make me better. Having a lot of gold in my hand would be better than having a lot of food. In my opinion, food will be the next barter item of importance because, you know, everybody eats. And that means if you have food, you can make a friend. You can probably make an enemy too. But we can take care of people because we have food to help. And one of the things that after a disaster is always hardest to come by is a good meal. And the other thing is that it's hard to be able to fix a meal if you don't have the proper accoutrements. So in your planning, you have to plan to make sure that not only you have food, but you have water, and you have equipment, and you have resources for your fire and for the control of your fire. And so for me, I sat down and made out a plan for myself, and then over the years I've increased it, embellished it, found out more resources, but the basics have not changed. The basics, everybody eats, everybody drinks, everybody poops. Those are reality. You have to work around those realities, and once you get a hang, you get the hang of it, it gets a lot easier. So hopefully people will realize that they can do this. You just have to give it some effort. Don't be polarized by the politics. Don't be polarized by the economy. Don't be polarized by the neighbor who doesn't want to do anything for themselves. Take care of you. You're the most important person you know. And you have the smarts. Just now turn smarts into wisdom and start doing what people need to do in order to get ready. So anyway, I don't know how to... I don't know what else to say. I try to keep it simple for folks. If I can answer a specific question, I'd certainly be happy to answer them. And so in the chat room, if anybody has a question or wants to call in, our number is 347-324-3704. We're close to the end, but we have time for a couple of questions. I'd be happy to help if we can. And I know you people aren't shy. You're just busy. You're busy chatting. What have you done? What has anyone out there done this week that they feel is progress in terms of their personal preparedness? That's a question I can ask. Hopefully someone will either put a note in the chat room. But, you know, everybody needs a preparedness policy. I've said this several times. And if you'd I'll give you some P's that you can work with, the preparedness P's. You need a policy. You need to preview your potential problems. What's the most likely thing that can happen where you live? Is it cold weather? Is it flooding? Is it forest fire? Is it just no jobs? What is it that's creating the worst problem where you are for which you can prepare, which you should prepare for? And then you think, you have to determine, okay, I could lose my job because jobs are getting thinner and thinner. People are moving out. They may not need me, and my job may not be critical in a few weeks. So if I lose my job, what's my first problem? Is it having water? Probably not. Is it having food? Maybe not. Is it having fire? Is it winter coming? Look at what is staring you in the face should something go wrong, and play the what-if game. Start writing down the questions, then get yourself some answers. You cannot do this without laying out a plan. You need to plan. That's another one of the P's. So you want to do that, though, based on your personal needs and your personal principles, because if you don't, you see, you can't provide for yourself if you don't have the means. Where do you get the means? Is it from your job? Is it from your parents? Is it from a next-door neighbor or a bank loan? Whatever it takes, you have to come up with those means, because planning and providing take effort, and it will prevent further pain, I can tell you that. So how do you go about it? How many of you have really thought about the fact that you have to have a passion for preparedness? It won't happen automatically. It doesn't just fall out of the sky into your grocery basket. You have to make a decision, a determination, what provisions you want to put away, the ones that you like. Imagine that in your home you're going to set up a convenience store. I call it my in-home convenience store. Some people call it a general store. I don't try to be general. I try to be specific. If I had to live for a week, what would I want that would get me through so that I felt good and fed myself and had enough nutrition and enough energy from it that I could go on into the second week? And if I were going to do this for 2 weeks, how much would I need? And what would I have for the second week? I wouldn't want to do the same thing probably every day. Even steak gets boring after a while. Grits for breakfast, as good as they are, get boring after a while. You need some oatmeal once in a while, some cream of wheat once in a while. So think these things through. What do I need in order to get from A to B, from B to C, et cetera? And what's my backup plan? Oh, do I have a backup plan for my backup plan? You don't have to go that deep, but think in terms of the most important things. The most important thing I would think is having shelter. If you don't have shelter, you know, you can't live very long in a freezing atmosphere if you don't have a personal shelter or a family shelter. personal shelters, your clothing. If you don't have warm clothing, you won't last very long in cold weather. You can freeze to death long before you get thirsty. You can freeze to death long before you get hungry. So get your priorities together. That's another one of the P's that's really important. So prepare your provisions for worst-case scenario that you can afford. Not everybody can afford a solution for every problem. But if it's the major problem or the number one problem in your area is such and such, then you need to prepare the highest level you can within that category. It only makes sense. You only have so many resources, so I urge you to do that. The other is, of course, as I told you, you have to learn to practice, practice, practice. If you're going to preach, learn to practice it. So you can have tie this passion into getting things done. Use it as a driver. And I think the best thing for becoming prepared is having not having just a program for yourself, but a party. Join a party, a group. I don't mean go have a party. But you want to have a group of people who are like you, who think like you do. You can't buy everything, and they can't buy everything, but between the two of you, you can share in some things. Several people, a group can go together to buy a grinder, a grain grinder, or a mixer, or an oven, or something that might be special in case your neighborhood has a cataclysmic situation. So learn who it might be your office group, it could be a church group, it could be a club, the knitting group, whatever. Find some people who have the same kind of idea and use the party concept, the party precept, to put funds together so that somebody might have this item and someone over there have that item, but among you, you have enough that you can make it. You know, you don't use a wheat grinder all day long. One person in a large neighborhood can own a wheat grinder because you can pass that puppy around, and in an hour you can grind all the wheat you need for a week. So learn maybe how to share and do group purchase as a group. It's always good to group purchase also. So if you want to persevere, you've got to perpetuate yourself, and you do that simply by being prepared. The other is, of course, the bottom line, the P's I really don't like to hear, is prepare or perish. You have two options. You can prepare now or die later. We're all going to die anyway, but I'd like to be as in control as much as I can. I don't want to starve to death. I certainly don't want to die of a lingering disease that I can't control. At some point, that could happen. It happens in a lot of families, but I'd like to think that if it doesn't happen, I can live at a level to which I've become accustomed. And that's the whole purpose of preparedness, is to set your life now. Prepare to the level that you want to continue to live, not an emergency basis. If you do that, you can stretch it out on an emergency basis. But prepare now means to get ready so that if something goes wrong outside your control, you can keep on going as if it didn't happen. To me, that's the ultimate preparedness. So I urge you then to do that. I think also that preparedness personifies the fact that you care enough to invest in taking care of your family or yourself. Matters not whether it's me or you or them. It's, do we have enough care for our family? Do we love them enough to take care of them? And so that's kind of the bottom line there. Minister Emmanuel, we've been on long enough. It looks like we're running out of time. That got probably into a lecture. Nobody called in. Nobody asked a question. I am Dr. Prepper. This has been the Dr. Prepper Cooking Show. We did a little cooking today. Hopefully you out there will think about it in radio land, in listening land, in the internet world, that you'll take the time to think through what you need to do to become prepared or get better prepared. From what I see, it looks like it's time to get started on it. If you can get closer to finishing than starting, you'd be better off. We don't know what's going to happen. Food bought today is always a bargain because food prices go up consistently, constantly, and irrevocably. So it might be a time now to make that investment a little deeper while we still have cash and before there is, and like gas, things jump up and you have no clue it's going to happen. So let's get on it. I am Dr. Prepper. This has been the Dr. Prepper Cooking Show on the Freedomizer Radio. Thank you, Minister Emanuel, for being there. Watch him back.
Not a
there.
Problem.
And we'll be back next week at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. I'm Dr. Prepper, and thank you for being with us today. We're out of here.
You've been listening to The Dr. Prepper Show with number one best-selling preparedness author James Talmadge Stevens. Each week, Dr. Prepper brings you useful and timely information on how to prepare for an uncertain future. In times like these, it pays to be prepared. Questions or comments? Contact Dr. Prepper through his website at drprepper.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. And remember, preparedness saves lives.